Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the latest episode of the Wrestling Index Podcast. As always, your boy TK in the house. And if you're watching live on YouTube, watching live on Twitter, you can see I got my Wednesday night partner in the house with me, Justin from the In Time Wrestling Podcast. Too sweet, me baby.
Partners in crime. What is up, everybody? We here.
We are love here. Talking. Oh, man, I'm so glad to be back with you. I was thinking about maybe doing it tomorrow. The wife's home. I got to get some Bachelor in Paradise in. But there was so much good tonight with AEW Dynamite. We had Raw. We had Extreme Rules. I want to talk to you. I want to get your thoughts. And I got a lot to say, as always. Quick housekeeping. If you're watching right now, Floor Sleeper Sports YouTube, please like, subscribe. Greatly appreciate it. Greatly appreciate you always tuning in. You can find this podcast on all audio platforms, Visionary Global Media Network, and of course, FloorSlamperSports.com, you know, NFL content, fantasy football content, and of course, wrestling content. So get on there, a bunch of great content. And again, if you're on YouTube, please like, please subscribe. We greatly, greatly appreciate any feedback that you get. But Justin,
give TK's a little tap.
Give me that little tab. And Justin, I want to get your opinion before we go into Raw, before we go into Dynamite. We were on for 5.5 hours doing an Extreme Rules watch along with the bloodline of podcasting, as we're calling ourselves, me, Devin, Ivan, and Dom. That was a hell of a lot of fun that night. So you got my opinion. And if you didn't hear it, you can go check out all 5.5 hours right here on Floor Sleeper Sports YouTube. Justin, quick synopsis of the pay-per-view, your overall thoughts on it, and then how were you feeling about that return at the end of the show?
Overall, I really enjoyed the show. I really did, actually. Like, there was a couple, you know, kind of low spots. But other than that, like, I really actually enjoyed it overall. You know, the opening, Donnybrook fucking kicked ass. Liv and Ronda, sadly, to me, was a huge letdown. Like, it was just a sloppy mess. It could have been way better than that. But, and even having Ronda win was just big, huge letdown. It just feels like they didn't give Liv no time to do anything. You started it off bad and then just said, fuck it, let's just get it over with, which really sucks. Now we got to deal with Ronda as champion again. Like, really, the only thing that good that can come out of that is her facing Shayna. And other than that, what else can you really have with her? What are we going to do? Run her and Charlotte back 6 times? Like, I'll pass every time on that. The strap match to me, like, yeah, I've heard a lot of people say they weren't too crazy for it. I didn't mind it. It was fine in parts. Like, it definitely, like, I can see why people, when they're saying stuff about Karrion Kross, like, I understand it. I see what you're saying. Like, I still like the guy. He does need to turn up his intensity up big time, because sometimes he looks a little weak with his strikes and stuff like that. So just needs to turn it up a little bit more. But other than that, it was a solid match. We had, like, I can't believe I'm going to say this right now. Like, ladder match was freaking awesome. I enjoyed the shit out of that. The judgment day, everything with that. Now, you know, I'm still not sold on the story here, but watching that match, Edge and Balor, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Story-wise, even in that match, awesome. It was such a freaking awesome match. Like, and I'm hoping that is the thing that can sway me into liking Judgment Day more. Because even, like, when they followed it up on Raw, I'm still just like, nah, this still ain't it yet. Still ain't doing it. Like, I was hoping, like, after that big, epic fucking match that you had with a lot of really good story, you could sway me in on Monday, but nope, didn't do it yet, so. And then, of course, the main event, the fight pit, thought it was cool. It was fine for what it was. Like, it's definitely now the lower of the fight pits. It's not the greatest thing. Like, it's all right for the two of them. Daniel Cormier really brought nothing to that match. He was just there for reasons. But yeah, it was a decent match. And the return, listen, I've said it multiple times, said it on my show, said it on going with Nick and Keith earlier. Like, everybody knew it was Bray, and it absolutely did nothing to lower that fucking excitement that that crowd had when he came back. It was fucking perfectly done. Perfectly done. So good. And I'm just so happy that man is back.
Yo, absolutely, dude. Everything about that return, goosebumps, chills from start to finish. The chance with the crowds, how it went dark. I specifically loved how they did the throwback to the NXT TakeOver. It was in Chicago. I forgot. I think it might have been War Games. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on it, but it was definitely in Chicago when the credits aired and Ciampa then afterwards turned on Gargano. Yep. It reminded me just like that because everyone's like, oh, no, the show's over. Oh, no, the show isn't over. And then it leaves it up. You know, there's so many different possibilities. Going through all the characters, showing Huskis like dead, basically opening up the door, his new mask. There is so many things. Like, did he kill those characters off? Are we going to get those new characters? Is he going to be a new Bray Wyatt? Who is he? Like, you've got the whole world in his hands. He's got, like, dude, the just whole thing, bro. Oh. Man, orgasmic. The whole thing was fucking orgasmic. And I hate how people on the internet are comparing it. It's like, it's not CM Punk's return. Yo, shut the fuck up, man. Why do we need
comparing stuff?
Why do we need to compare everything? CM Punk's return was special as fuck. Bray Wyatt's return was special as fuck. Let them both just be special as fuck. There's no reason to compare them. I liked your comparison. That was a fair, it wasn't even a comparison, it was an assessment. AEW told us basically it was going to be CM Punk and didn't let us down. WWE basically told us it was going to be Bray Wyatt and didn't let us down. The excitement level actually rose because we knew it was going to be them rather than, you know, could it be them, could it not be them. So yes. I love how both companies did that, and I love both returns. Both returns were equally as special in different ways. This Bray return has got me all sorts of fucking worked up and fired up. I don't know if they're going to make new characters. There's all sorts of rumors that all these Honor No More is no longer with Impact Wrestling. So you got Vincent and Dutch as possibilities. You had Seth Rollins and Ciampa and Dominik Dijakovic and Liv Morgan black out the and Grayson Waller black out their Twitter, whatever the fuck that thing is, the background fucking photo. Yeah. So there's Ciampa did that too. So there's possibilities that people like that could be involved in this faction. So the possibilities are absolutely endless. I'm fine if Bray's a single competitor. I'm a faction guy though. So I want the Wyatt Six. I want Bo Dallas to return. The Rowan, the possibilities are absolutely endless with this, and I can't wait, bro. Overall for me, Extreme Rules was a 15 out of 10. The return was the icing on the cake. I slightly gotta disagree. One second, Bakley, I got you for sure. I slightly gotta disagree with you. I like the Liv Ronda match. I thought it was, for what it was, you weren't gonna get anything good in ring. So I thought for what it was going to be sloppy and it was fine. I love the ending with the way Ronda choked Liv out using the table with Liv's smile on there. I thought that was fucking dope as all hell. And then the Judgment Day stuff, yes, you're right. It was great at the pay-per-view. They talked about it on the Universal Wrestling podcast earlier today. I got to give Nick and Juicy big props. They did their first live stream. They fucking kicked ass. They were absolutely awesome. He talked about it there. I believe it was you who called it. It was kind of like a group talk, how we were talking about on the prediction show last Thursday. Mm-hmm. What if it's Beth? What if it's Beth? It was Beth. And the way that match ended was absolutely fantastic. So great call there. Yes. And Justin, if you can't get into the Judgment Day now, you will never get into them because you have all these different levels and layers inside of the Judgment Day. And we'll move over to Raw. And let's just get to Raw and we'll stay on the Judgment Day because we're going to move on to Raw anyway. So we might as well keep talking about them. The Judgment Day to me right now is one of the most intriguing things in professional wrestling. The stable, you got Finn, Damian, and the what Rhea and Dom are doing, like their little relationship together to me is fucking awesome. Then you add in the fact that you got beef with Dom and Ray. All right. That whole thing hit me. Then you got the whole thing with Edge and Beth now with potentially Finn and Rhea. And then you add in the AJ thing. So on Raw, if you guys missed it or you watched it, we're going to talk about it. AJ Styles seemed to bow down to Finn like he was going to join the Judgment Day. AJ Styles had backup. The Good Brothers, the OC, the original club show up. Carl Anderson, the New Japan Pro Wrestling, never open weight champion, is apparently in WWE. How does that work? And then on top of it, New Japan Pro Wrestling retweeted the WWE's tweet about the Good Brothers being there. So, Justin, what I got to say to you is a couple of things before I let you talk. First of all, if you can't get into Judgment Day now, you're never going to get into them. This story is layered. You can have an hour show around the Judgment Day and just what they got going on right now. It is so much. It is fucking incredible. And I can't wait to see where they go forward, whether it's Survivor Series, whether it's War Games, whether it's a mixed tag match in Saudi Arabia. I am so excited to see where this goes. And secondly, this whole WWE New Japan Forbidden Door thing, gets me worked up. So talk to me about what we saw on Raw with the Good Brothers joining AJ Styles in this fight against Judgment Day. And this possible, speaking of New Japan, what's up, Bakely? Dan Bakely, Cage My IQ in the house. Definitely check out his channel. They just did a bomb-ass show on the Circle of Debate last night. Every Tuesday night, they're talking New Japan. Bakely, De Niro, Ivan, and Brett was on there last night. Very, very good stuff. Bakely, thank you for joining the show. But perfect timing as we just got into the Good Brothers showing up on Raw. Justin, spit on your feelings on this. Then, Bakely, you can get into it. And this whole maybe potential WWE New Japan Pro Wrestling relationship that we might see. What do you think, Justin?
So just by when AJ was talking, I was like, oh my God, he's talking about the Good Brothers. I'm like, but then he started like swerving everyone a little bit and started being like, and he started bowing to Finn. And I'm like, oh, never mind. We're not getting there yet. And then he freaking stood up and when they like hugged and everything. And I'm like, and we're still not getting there yet. And then he freaking was just like, I wasn't talking about you. And I'm like, okay, we're going somewhere now. And I hear the music play. And I lose my shit because, damn, that's awesome to see them back. Fucking awesome. Like, there's so many things going on with Judgment Day. Like, how the fuck? Like, what the hell's going to happen? No one knows at this point. How the hell do you even do it? Like, you got AJ and now the Good Brothers with them. And they're dealing with Judgment Day. But you still got Edge dealing with them. And just all these other freaking people that want to deal with them. And then you got Beth now in the situation. Like, clearly, Judgment Day is going to be involved in the War Games match now. But it's like, where are we going to go? Who's going to be in that match now with them? That's what I'm saying. I think we do intergender. I still think we do intergender War Games. It'd be so fucking cool.
That'd be dope
to see that.
And don't forget you got Ray, who could probably flip at any moment, like with how he's dealing with the Dom.
Ooh, that would be so cool too. If Ray did flip and join Judgment Day, it seems very out of like character. But they need a fourth member if you think about it. But I don't know. I don't know if that'll happen for sure.
It could be kind of interesting if Ray does do the flip. Like it's just his way to still be with his son that he's willing to just fucking go to the dark side. Kind of be interesting. I'm not going to lie.
It'd be kind of like Daniel Bryan with the Wyatt family back before he had his big title run where he was kind of like forced to be there. That would be fucking nice, Bigley.
That'd be kind of interesting.
He has to infiltrate it, act like he's with them to try and get his son out of it. Like he just plays along with it for a while and then he gets in.
I dig that for sure. Bakely, what are your thoughts on the Good Brothers showing up on Raw? And do you think that we could see a WWE and New Japan Pro Wrestling relationship?
There's so many ways that they can go with this now because it was rumored. And I'm like, there's no way because he's champion. I'm like, he's the never open weight champion. They literally just left Impact at the end of August. So it's only been a month. And they made it a point to say, we're going back to New Japan. So I'm like, so this must have happened so fast. Like, boom, they must have not been under contract. It must have been just those tour contracts where you go, you're under contract for the tour. And I was like, maybe they thought that he was staying and then he decided to leave. And that's why he kept the belt. for the time that he did, because I thought he might have dropped it there when he had the chance to. But this opens a lot of things up. I'm surprised he didn't come out with the belt. That would have been even better.
Oh, that would have been so cool, dude.
That would have been a lot better. But like, you had him come out. You got the old school OC here. You got connections there. You got the connections with Finn. But then I thought what was even better about you saying, do you think there could be partnerships, is what Jay White said at the press conference yesterday. Mm-hmm. Jay White goes, he was like, I told you guys what we were doing in the Bullet Club. We're taking over little by little. We're getting people everywhere. You got Chris Bay and Ace Austin in Impact. You got the Good Brothers in WWE. You got Jay White right here. There's a chance, there's been talks that you might have Juice Robinson going to AEW, but nothing's confirmed yet. They're trying to get people everywhere, so Bullet Club is taking over business, and he's the head of it. So it could create a thing where you could see WWE working with New Japan as a thing, because why not? Like we've been saying this all along, the World Tag League, you can have people everywhere. Oh, I was joking around last night. I was like, watch, you can have FTR and the Good Brothers in the World Tag League, and they're going to put them in the first match just to tease people, because you got FTR on AEW, and then you got Good Brothers in WWE. It probably 99% won't happen, but like, now it's possible that it could happen with the Good Brothers in WWE. And they're not going to be able to do anything, I think, until November, when I would assume that he's going to drop that title, at least, if this is legit happening. Yeah. But I could also, like today, I was like, I could also see him keep it, because if he keeps it, that means to me that the relationship is going to happen. If he keeps it, it goes over on Nicolai.
When was the last time a WWE superstar was an active WWE superstar is wrestling a New Japan Pro Wrestling match? Because that is what's going to happen, or theoretically speaking, going to happen on November 5th, as far as we know. And based on what Jay White said, and based on that retweet from New Japan Pro Wrestling, that is probably going to happen. So, hell yeah, sign me up. That was a great angle.
I think not taking the never open weight title off of Carl Anderson just gives it away, like that there's something going on.
I think what winds up happening is he's going to hold it. Gallows is going to cost Ciccolo the match. We've been talking about what could Tama Tonga go and do again. You could have him against Tama Tonga at Wrestle Kingdom for the never open weight, and you could put it back on Tama Tonga to give him something to do now.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, that'd be great booking too. Because Tama needs it.
WWE confront Roman. Let's fucking go.
Oh my God, dude. If we had freaking G.O.D. and Hikuleu showing up freaking with the bloodline in some capacity. Because
they have that, that their families are very closely considered each other families. So,
That's a perfect transition, because that's the next thing I wanted to talk about. We're not going to sit here and talk about the full Raw, but a couple of hot spots I want to hit on. First and foremost is the bloodline and everything that they're doing. First of all, when they come out, their entrance is so fucking sexy, dude. Like, looking at the five of them, the six of them with Paul Heyman, my God, dude, just class. There, and Sammy is the hype man. But mainly, I want to talk to you guys. Sami Zayn's fucking incredible. We know that. Jey Uso is getting the short end of the stick right now. You know, when Roman was cutting the promo about who speaks the loudest is the weakest, you know, it was Sammy is the one who he should be talking about. But we all knew he was going to go to Jay. So what do you guys ultimately think is going to happen with this? Do you think it's just going to be a way where they're eventually going to be like, fuck you, Sammy, and boot him out and take Jay's side? Or, you know, are they going to – or are Jay and Jimmy eventually going to turn on Roman and the bloodline kind of fall away? What do you guys think?
I think you have more odds of Sammy getting kicked out than the Usos turning at this point.
They're trying to make you, like, the audience think it's going to be Jay, and then they're going to flip on us, and it's going to be them booting the Sammy. It's just them, the way they're doing it, they're just trying to pull a fast one on us to make it seem like it's him. They're like, you do this, you do that, you handle him, you know. But in the back, they're like, we're just messing with him right now, you know. We're just toying with it. He's hot right now, and we're eventually we're going to kick him. But did you see on Friday where Sammy's going to Logan Paul? He's saying, you're the twos, and we're the ones. And you see Roman break out of character and laugh. He had to, like, cover it. He had to go like this. He made it so obvious. It's the second time that Sammy has made him break character during a segment. Because he's just so white hot and funny with what he does. He's the best thing right now. Like, everybody's into him. He should be booed, but he's getting cheered so much.
He's so over. He's probably the most overact in the company right now. He's like the WWE's version of the Acclaimed. It's absolutely crazy. So you had that. Other things, Johnny Gargano beat Austin Theory. Austin Theory's on a 15-match losing streak, I guess. 15-match losing streak. Candice LeRae, people were unhappy that she lost last week. She beat Bayley this week clean. That was fucking awesome to see. Damage Control did beat her down after the match. They look great in doing it. But most importantly, you give Candice LeRae that big win, which I thought was really cool. Here's the big thing I want to talk about, though. What was going to happen? Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley, United States Championship. Bobby can't hold this belt forever. There have been rumors that Brock is coming back. Brock, Bobby might be happening. And what a way to do this. Bobby is in the ring. Brock Lesnar's music hits. Bobby puts his belt up. Boom, F5, Kimura. The refs, that sets up a match for Bobby and Brock in Saudi Arabia, and I can't fucking wait for that match. That crowd was hot for Brock, my God. Yeah. And then Seth Rollins comes out, there's like seven refs are walking Bobby to the back. Rollins is like, fuck no, fuck this. I'm getting my fucking match, dude. Bobby still looks strong, hits a spear, hits a couple of moves, kicks out of a bunch of moves, but ultimately it was Seth Rollins getting the win, getting the United States Championship, and finally getting a singles title after like 900 fucking days. So overall, all in all, what did you guys think about Brock's return, Brock, Bobby, and Seth winning the U.S. title? Justin, start with you, kick it at Bakley.
I don't know. I'm not really like anticipating Brock and Bobby. I'm just not. Not if their first encounter. Their first encounter just didn't do it for me. So it's like, I don't know if I'm really into seeing them go at it again. It just doesn't really appeal to me right now. Like, I was hyped to see it for like the longest time, and then their first time they go at it, and it just was a huge letdown. So it's like, now you're going to do it again with nothing big at stake for the two of them, except possibly Lashley winning, but more than likely he's not going to win. Like, I just, my interest in it just doesn't, like, is not there for it. I know everyone loves Cowboy Brock, but I've never been the biggest Brock Lesnar guy. He just shows up and I go, all right, it's Brock. Cool. Like, just doesn't pique my interest anymore. Rollins winning the title, like, it just comes off like you're just trying to spike more to the eventual rubber match with him and Riddle. And that to me just goes, their feud's already big enough. Like, they have such a deep-seated, like, hatred rivalry going on right now. And now you're just like, a title in there wouldn't hurt, right? Like, doesn't really need to have the United States title in there. Like, I know Lashley can't hold the U.S. title for, like, ever. But it's just like, let him at least make it to Survivor Series. Let's at least get the Gunther match in there, and then he can lose the title. But now, it just feels like we're just giving more to the Riddle and Rollins feud to move Lashley onto a feud that I don't even know if he's going to fucking win in the first place, because I just don't see it happening. And that's what sucks. Like, Lashley's going to get dropped down a bunch of pegs here, and kind of sucks.
Yo, yo, yo. The Wrestling DeLorean podcast. Mike De Niro, what's up, bro? Thanks for tuning in. Enjoyed Dynamite tonight, man. It was a really, really good show. I think you're going to enjoy it for sure, man. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you, bro. Yeah, Justin, I feel you, man. I think Bobby's better fucking beat Brock when they have that match. Brock needs not to win. Brock can lose forever and still be Brock Lesnar and be fine. Bobby needs to win that match for sure. And Bakley, before you go, I believe you called this months ago. This feud between Rollins and Riddle is going to end in a Hell in a Cell. I didn't see how it was going to happen since Rollins just did the Hell in a Cell with Cody But Saudi Arabia, this feud is definitely ending inside Hell in a Cell.
I've been calling that one for the longest time, and now everybody's starting to hop on the bandwagon. Like,
maybe it was you, Justin. Man, I might be. I never give Justin credit for shit. From now on, if someone calls, I'm just gonna say Justin called it, and then if it wasn't Justin,
we'll go. No, I'll be like, take credit for that kind of stuff. I don't take credit for everything here.
Come on, I'll be like, Justin called it. I'd be like, no, it was Bakley. No, it was Justin. But I think that feud ends in Hell in a Cell. You guys are right. Because I didn't think it was going to happen, but I think it is going to end in Hell in a Cell.
I think they're going to go back to it because Riddle kind of has no reason to since he won in his own match. So you think he's going to be greedy and go back out and be like, you know what? I beat you, but you know what? You won this title. I want to take that now. You know, you think that's how he's going to do it?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be like, it's 1-1. I just beat you. Now I'm taking your title.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I think. Yeah.
I was so close to the Lashley Gunther match. So close. I was so hyped for it. Like, I wanted to see it.
We might not even be getting brand versus brand, though. So that's another thing that we need to be cognizant of, too. We might really, really want that Gunther versus Bobby match, but there's only one world champion. There's only one tag champion. So at the end of the day, this Raw versus SmackDown thing is really going to be watered down to what? What are you going to do, just mid-card women? I mean, that's it. You can't really do anything else there. So maybe they're just not going to do that at all. But we will get Gunther and Bobby. I know that they know that we want it, so they will give it to us. And if Ivan was here, play the clip. Give us what we want.
Yes.
I think our only saving grace for that to happen is if the draft actually happens.
Yeah.
Keep Gunther on SmackDown, and then you move Bobby over to SmackDown and make it happen.
But they really did protect Bobby Lashley because it took two or three F5s, two German suplexes, then and the Kimura, and then it was two curb stomps just to finish him. So they really protected him there. This whole Brock Lesnar putting people over now, it's going to be tested now because this is one of the first times where it's a non-title match. There's no title involved in this. So I'll truly know that he's willing to put somebody over if he puts Lashley over in this non-title match. I remember the first match. The first match had a lot of outside interferences. You had Paul Heyman throw the belt in. It went to, I believe it was Lashley. Roman was there. There's a lot. So Lashley didn't really get that clean win. He got the win, but it was kind of like a dirty win. This is the perfect chance to put him over clean, over Lesnar. You get him win. He gets white hot once again because he, instead of having the title, now he gets that big win over Lesnar, and he can push him, maybe push him, because I feel like maybe it's going to be, you get like a Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns at Royal Rumble, or like day one, where you have like a white hot Lashley going up against him, because if you're not going to have the U.S. title on him, you got to push him to the main event, I feel, and the best way to do that is to have him go over on Lashley, because God forbid we get Lesnar winning again and then have him against Reigns again. I don't need that PTSD.
Oh, my God. Never again.
I don't need it. No, I don't need it.
Never.
Yeah. The only thing that I'm okay with him winning the title. I just don't like how the day before he loses a match and then he gets the title match, which was announced beforehand, and then he wins it. But you know what? He deserves it. I know he deserves it. I just don't like how they booked it to happen. I'm not a fan of that. He should have been booked better because of the wrestler that he is.
Yep, for sure. But as you said when you first started this, they did it to protect Bobby, and they did a great job. You're right. He's got to be Brock. He's got to be Brock clean. And he has been a guy who's we've all wanted and yearned for him to go after Roman for so long. And that Bobby Roman program would be awesome. So sign me the fuck up for that, Bakley. I hope you will that into fruition for sure.
Yeah.
I think they're 1-1 against each other overall. I think they've had two matches with each other before. And I think Roman won one and then Bobby won one. So, yeah.
Okay.
Sign me up, especially for the Royal Rumble. Like, that's that big match, world title feel for sure. Roman, Bobby, let's go.
It could be a day one, but I'd rather have it at Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's a big match. That deserves a big show for sure. Last thing, WWE, before we hop over to tonight's awesome Dynamite show, I just want to get your guys' opinion on what's going to happen with Bray Wyatt on SmackDown. It's official. He's going to be a SmackDown-only superstar, I guess, which is cool. Fox gets Bray. What do you guys expect to happen with him? Like, what do you want to happen on this Friday night? Do you think we're going to see him in person, a vignette? What do you want to see to happen?
That's so tough. Like, I he could do anything at this point, and I think I'm just going to be fine with it.
I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him for like 10 seconds, just like Extreme Rules, where it's something quick, but a little bit more. But like, you have to think that, like, a lot of people are like, who's he going to feud with first? Who's it going to be? We know it's not Riddle now. We know it's not him.
I was wrong. I'll eat that. I was wrong. I was 100% sure it was going to be Riddle.
Like, there's guys that you can think of, like Drew McIntyre, like he could feud with him. I don't think he's feuded with him before. Like I could see him feuding with the Karrion Kross, but then I feel like that's one maybe that you'd wait on, because that'd be a good down the line one. Because a lot of people are thinking, like, we see this guy, we see the mask guy. I feel like they're two different people. The mask vignette that we saw, where it's like it's like a broken TV and you see the mask talking, but then we saw Bray Wyatt as well. Like, I think they're two different people. I don't think they're the same person. And maybe like that one's like a bad one, and then Bray's like good.
Do you think me and Justin were kind of talking about this right early in the show before you hopped on. Do you think that Bray is going to be an individual superstar, or do you think that he is going to have this Wyatt Six faction?
He could. We did just see, like, I know it doesn't mean nothing. We saw Roxanne tweet out about somebody was seeing something about the Wyatt Six, and then Roxanne tweeted, I'll be there on Friday. Maybe I need to get a hold of the Wyatt Six, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. And as we mentioned earlier, all those superstars blacked out their Twitter banner. But Seth Rollins was one of them, and Seth Rollins just won the U.S. title. I was really thinking, like, damn, if you can give me, like, Seth Rollins and Ciampa and Dominik Dijakovic and Liv Morgan or Carmella with Bray and Rowan maybe, or Bo Dallas, that is just – it's fucking mind-blowing stuff.
Did you see Liv Morgan's little promo thing after the match, where she was curled up in a ball, kind of crying a little bit, and it was like kind of darkened, and it looked really weird. Like, she's like the person on Twitter said, it looks like she's going to go through like a gimmick change,
which would be awesome. And her being in this role with Bray would be awesome.
Yeah.
Or even my buddy mentioned it to Matt Track mentioned it to me today. He said, what about Carmella in that spot in a new dark role? And I was like, fuck yeah, dude, that girl can work, and she's got character skills, so I'd love to see her do that. But tonight, you know what night it is. It's Wednesday night, and you know what that means. We're here to
Dynamite.
Talk. That's right. And tonight's Dynamite basically started at 6:45 with Tony Khan fucking spoiling a huge signing, a big announcement. I don't know why he does this shit, but Tony Khan went on Twitter and announced Renee Paquette is now AEW, and I love it. She is fantastic, world class at what she does. Whether she's going to be on commentary or a backstage interviewer, you mentioned it in our chat room tonight, Bakley. She alone is going to take so much responsibility away from Tony Schiavone. That dude is running around the arena all show whilst doing commentary still.
He's got his running shoes on.
He sure does. So having Renee there is big, in my opinion. Plus, again, she gives that. She has all the credentials in the world. She is legitimately awesome at what she does, and she's a big name. So Warner Brothers Discovery, I know that they're happy with AEW's huge numbers, and if they're feeling happy with AEW's huge numbers, then we should be feeling happy with it. And Renee's there, and I'm feeling good. Boys, what do you think about, I guess, TK spoiling at first? Does that matter to you? And what do you think about her being an AEW?
Doesn't really bother me. I'm happy she's there. It's cool because I liked Renee. She, even when she was in WWE, I liked her. She's a good voice. She's a good hand every time, no matter where the hell she's at. So didn't matter that they spoiled it. Got to see her at least. That's fucking awesome. So good on her.
That crowd was hot for her. And I know like the crowd probably didn't get spoiled by it on Twitter, but like, you know, maybe like half the arena might have saw it. Like they should have just let it be. That's my whole thing. Just let shit be sometimes.
Giving her that moment to open the show was fucking cool. So
dug it for sure. Bakely, what'd you think, bro?
No, I like it. Like I said it before, it helps Tony Schiavone out. Maybe they're going to slowly work her into it. That's why she did the first one, but then she didn't do the next two or three that they had. They could work her into it to where maybe a month or two, then she's good to go. And then Tony Schiavone just has to worry about doing commentary, and she could do all the interviews. And because, you know, it used to be him doing it, and then he had the backstage one where JR would do it. Now then Tony Schiavone took over for that too, so JR could do a lot less. Now they're taking it the next step where they're like, okay, Tony, let's keep you on the commentary. You're doing a lot, like we value you there. Now let's bring her in, and she can do that. So it's like now a lot of people are doing too much, which is what you want. You don't want anybody to overwork themselves, and I think it's going to be a great thing. She's professional. She does this for a living, her podcast. She just signed on to do another show that she is going to be doing. I think she just started it, a sports show.
Cool.
That's not going to coincide with this. So she can just come in here and interview people, and then boom.
That's awesome. Hell yeah, dude. And big shout out, Dylan, World Elite Podcast. What up, bro? Got to give Dylan a mad shout out. He's been doing all the graphics for Floor Sniper Sports, man. And our site's been looking sick because of those graphics. So definitely check out Floor Sniper Sports and give Dylan a shout out, man. He's fucking awesome. Looking forward to seeing what the World Elite boys got going on Sunday. They're interviewing Victor Perry. He is the teacher who runs the wrestling club out in New York. Him and his students just were at Raw this past Monday, and they were just recognized on the bump today. And cheap plug, I interviewed him 2 weeks ago. Go check it out right here on Floor Sniper Sports YouTube. That dude is awesome, man. He's a really cool man. So go and check that out, and be sure to check out their show on Wednesday. But let's get into Dynamite tonight. The first match, Luchasaurus beats Jungle Boy. Obviously, Christian Cage was going to get involved, and he did. What do you guys think about this match?
I actually enjoyed it. I know I'm not crazy for the feud right now because after the whole flip-flop with Luchasaurus, but the match is pretty fucking awesome, so I'll give it that. No surprise, like you said, no surprise Christian got involved. Of course, Christian was going to be there because Canada.
Yeah.
Still a good way to start the show with a kick-ass match, so at least there's something good coming out of this feud so far.
They could easily had Jungle Boy winning because he's over with the crowd and whatnot. But the goal here is to get Luchasaurus over as a heel. And then you have Christian there to add fuel to the fire with that because it's kind of brainwashed Luchasaurus. So you can get a win over Jungle Boy will help build him up. Just like he said on commentary, it's like he wants to hop on the back of Luchasaurus to help him win the war title.
Yeah, that would be cool if they keep pushing Luchasaurus, and it would also be cool if they did some sort of a hardcore match at Full Gear or Last Man Standing or something, or submission match, I Quit match, whatever, Jungle Boy gets the win there. I mean, I don't want to see Luchasaurus say I quit or tap, but Jungle Boy eventually is going to be the one to get the win because, let's be honest, who's the pillar of the company? It's Jungle Boy, so I think he's got to come out winning the feud. It's very reminiscent, though, of what they got going on with Hobbs and Starks. And quite frankly, I don't think either one of them walked out of that feud better. And I don't know if either one of these guys are going to walk out of this feud better. But I like both of these. I love both of these guys. I liked how the crowd was hot for not only Jungle Boy, but you got your Luchasaurus chance in there, which is great because it's the first time they've been in Canada. And Luchasaurus, before this heel turn, was always one of the most over guys in the company. So it was really cool that the crowd felt him even as a heel. So I dug that. Keep going with the show. We got Warjo, and fuck, Warjo is sexy. We all know how I yearn for that big, sexy beast Wardlow. But Samoa Joe is looking fucking mighty fine, too. You could slap me between those two like an Oreo cookie, and I'll be that cream filling, baby. I love those two men, dude. They beat the shit
out of... Talk about double stuffed Oreo.
That's me right there, double stuffed, baby. fucking they kicked the shit out of the factory. After the match, the embassy showed up. After the embassy shows up, they ask for FTR, and they get FTR to a resoundingly loud pop. Great to see those guys together. I love FTR and Warjo together. And then, it's kind of weird. There's four guys in the ring compared to the three guys, so I thought maybe you get a new member of embassy. But no, FTR makes a challenge to embassy, and they say, they got a partner, a perfect motherfucking 10. And I'm not a Sean Spears guy, but if the Pinnacle's going face and he's coming back to help FTR, I'm all in on it. So that's going to set up a match. I believe it was on Rampage, FTR and Sean Spears against the Embassy. And I got to see that big, meaty man, Brian Cage, on my screen. Two Dynamites in a row. So, fellas, what'd you think about this whole segment here?
Love me some Wardlow. Love me some Samoa Joe. Hopefully, Samoa Joe's eventually going to be an opponent for Wardlow down the road, which would be kind of nice. That'd be fucking awesome.
Yes.
The Embassy is probably my fucking favorite trio right there, and pisses me off that we don't fucking see them on television at all, because what the fuck is the problem here, Tony? Why are we not putting them on TV more? Now we are, which is fucking good. About damn time. Love FTR. That fucking reaction every time they hear that music. Crowd just loses their shit. I could care less about fucking Sean Spears. Like, guy comes out, and I was just like, and the crowd goes mild, because holy shit, who gives a fuck about Sean Spears? Dude's looked like a fucking loser for his whole fucking existence in AEW, so why the hell should I care now about Sean Spears? I don't care if he's wrong, bro. Not, man. Like,
I think it could have been like that anywhere else, but because they did it in Toronto, where he's from, that's why he got a pop.
He got a pretty mediocre ass pop, though, even in Toronto. They were just kind of like, oh, cool, is Sean Spears? Just act, just react anyway. It's something. They were like, it just came off so flat. And I'm like, yeah, he's been such a freaking jobber for years. And like, I don't care if he's part of the Pinnacle or anything. Like, Sean Spears always to me felt like the odd man out in that fucking group. You had such a freaking awesome faction with FTR and Wardlow and MJF. Nice. And it also was like, and here's Sean Spears. Did you forget there's Sean Spears? Oh, yeah, everybody forgets there's Sean Spears. Like,
well, as long as he's not the chairman anymore.
No shit.
Oh, now
no
it's back to 10, which is even more bizarre.
Hey, he could count to 10.
We'll see how long it lasts for sure.
Basically, he'll do his shoes off, and he'll stick his feet up, and he'll go 10,
20.
I'm with you. Like, I love the fact that not only once, but now twice in a row, we've seen the Embassy, and of course, we've seen Brian Cage. I'm loving it. Him in the Gates of Agony. Like, I've been yearning to see them. Got to see them on there. Got to see them on Battle of the Belts. Now we get to see them again. So it's like, technically, it's three shows in a row we've seen them all. So I'm hoping they're building them up. I know eventually they're probably going to take those ROH Trios titles off of Dalton Castle and the boys, who've been wrestling every Tuesday on Dark. They've been wrestling.
That'll happen.
Yeah,
I forgot. So eventually,
tag champions. Yeah. Him and the Peacocks.
Have an ROH six-man tag and then fucking make an AEW Trios tag. They should have just fucking taken the ROH tag. We ain't here for that.
I just want to reason. So ROH versus AEW, they have a thing to put those two, three together against.
Yeah.
Well, but Warner Brothers liking the program. Hopefully we get an ROH show sooner than later. But yeah, my bad, Bickley. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. Yeah, I like this segment. We're building off of it. I told you earlier, I love the fact that Samoa Joe's healthy for the first time in a while. Like, he took time off to do the voiceover for Twisted Better, came back. He's been on almost every show now. They've had this thing with him and Warjo, which is awesome. They got two big guys there. I like how he's doing the no-sell move that he does where the guy jumps off and he just moves out of the way. And just acts like he's too cool for that. That's a TNA Samoa Joe right there. I think he's, Yeah, he's getting his groove back, and that's a great thing because he's going to be great as long as he stays healthy. And I would like to see them battle each other, but I feel like we're not going to get that until Samoa Joe drops that title. So I'm like, man.
Hell no, title.
Well, no Joe. It's either that or I take Brian Cage take the TV title.
Yes. Yes. I was thinking that when I saw that today. I was like, I think Cage would be a perfect foil for Samoa Joe.
Joe and Cage would be fucking incredible.
Because we saw how good Brian Cage and Wardlow were. Samoa Joe and him could be just as good with the movesets that they do. And Samoa Joe's a different type of wrestler. That'd be good. But it's good to see these guys get on TV. And now you're going to get them again on Rampage, which will be a 4-straight show for them. They're trying to get them on, which is a good sign. You get them on. You get them recognized. It's like, okay, now we can book them more. Now we're doing things that we thought weren't going to be possible like a month ago. You're like, where the hell is Brian Cage? It took 2 months, but Tony Khan finally heard you. He probably heard you in his sleep.
God,
we had our whole gimmick where he was a missing persons poster on a milk carton. Yes. For God's sake.
God, man, we've all been yearning and screaming for Brian Cage. He's so talented, and it was a year. But yes, here he is about to do 4 shows in a row. Thank God. Next, we have Swerve Scott taking on Daddy Ass. Let me tell you, the Acclaimed are fucking over. They got the loudest pop of the night, and I don't really think it was close, dude. That crowd was hot, hot, hot for the Acclaimed. You got a couple of close ones like FTR, Jericho, but fuck, dude, that crowd, just watching everyone in the crowd were scissoring, dude. Everyone was scissoring, man. We don't got to talk too much about the match. The match, it was what it was. Swerve beat Daddy Ass in the match. He had a cheat to beat him, though, which I thought was fucking weak. You know, you're fighting a 62-year-old man. I don't care if he's chiseled like a fucking brick. You're fighting a 62-year-old man, bro. You shouldn't have to cheat to win. But
bro, that's probably the reason why he didn't show up on the DX reunion, actually. He probably didn't show up because, A, he looks better than all of them the entire time. And more over than all of them right now, because everybody would probably be chanting, "Oh, scissor me, daddy," the entire night.
We didn't even bring that. We didn't even talk about DX. Like, I mean, like really quick, that portion of the show was cool. I liked the beginning. It popped me and made me laugh. You know, them talking about dicks and cocks and fucking, you know, swearing and shit, whatever. You know, it's immature as fuck, but it made me laugh.
Did you see when Road Dogg was about to do his thing that HBK stood there and went like this?
And yes, dude. And I liked how they put the mic to the crowd so they can say the badass Billy Gunn. You put it in the chat how Corey Graves said he's working with Billy Gunn's working with office equipment somewhere else right now. And I read today, and I don't know how true it is, but Road Dogg responded to a tweet, one of Nico Extra's tweets, saying WWE did everything in their power to get Billy Gunn to show up on Raw, which blows my fucking mind if AEW didn't let that happen. And again, he's in Canada though, so it's a 2-day, it could be travel things.
I was gonna wonder if that had an issue with it because you got to deal with the visas and all that,
which is possible. But yeah, Justin, you're right. And even Road Dogg said it, like all these people are like, DX looks like shit. What did Road Dogg call them? Geriatric X proudly brings to you. Right. So it wasn't like he's taught. And even Shawn Michaels said, if we're still here in 25 years, please put us out of our fucking misery. So they old and beat up, you know?
But I just realized the intro is almost like their presidential thing. It's almost that redone this, like 2022, which is pretty fucking funny.
Yeah. So that was that with DX. And then that was that, you know, with Swerve. Swerve got the cheap one over Billy. Billy looked absolutely fantastic. I don't want to spend
with his bronzer.
Dude,
he looked like he just got a tan.
He just walked out of the self tanner for sure.
I don't know what Billy Gunn does to get himself so fucking chiseled, but send them tips my way, please.
Well, Justin, you know he got fired from WWE because he failed a steroid test, even though he was
he failed
the steroid test as a trainer. So that's why he got fired from WWE. So, I mean, I'm sure he's still fucking needling it up. But
he's sipping that ginger juice.
Dude, that's why ginger, my God, Jesus Christ. But I don't want to spend too much time on this. I just wanted to just point out how hot the Acclaimed was and how great Billy Gunn's body looked. My God, dude. But next, a couple of, well, two promos. We'll lump them together. We'll talk about it together. First, MJF backstage. Goddamn, he's going to be the biggest babyface maybe this company's ever seen sooner than later. I think someone said it. I'll just say Justin said it. But I think it was probably Bakley. When the firm turns on MJF, it's going to... good, Bakley. I'm glad I got it right this time. But when the firm turns on MJF and costs him whatever they're going to cost him and beats the shit out of him, that is going to elevate this man to all sorts of levels. MJF's promo backstage was absolutely incredible. He is leaning, not like pushing, but he is leaning just a little facey in his promos now, talking about how he didn't know if he was going to shake Yuta's hand and basically telling Stokely Hathaway to fuck off for the second straight week. So we'll see what goes from there. And then after that, God damn, we heard from Mox. We're going to hear from Hangman. We heard from Mox, but let me tell you what we heard from the Hangman. Let me tell you what we heard from the Cowboy, okay? He is a man, God damn it. What a fucking promo. Like, I'm a Mox guy. I hope Mox keeps the belt. But during that promo, I kind of got thinking, like, what if Hangman wins that title? Would I really be upset? He ain't going to win the title. I'm Mox all day. Mox is going to win it in his home crowd. But a couple of little Easter eggs in the promo I wanted to point out. One, Mox saying, once you get to the top, it's hard to stay at the top. More about fragile egos and shit. You know he was taking a shot at CM Punk. What did he say? I wrote it down. Some get to the top and self-destruct sooner than others. You know exactly who he was talking about when he said that. And then I loved how Hangman was, you know, he was like, I'm losing a friend here. I'm losing friends here. My other friends just disappeared. And then he just kept going about how he's the man, how he's like, how could you call me a kid, Mox? You still think I'm a kid? Fuck you. Have you seen what I've done in this fucking place? And then I love, you know, someone who suffers from bipolar and depression, anxiety. I love how he's like, I am depressed. You know, my medicine's not helping me. I'm still anxious. And I'm going to beat your fucking ass, dude. God damn it. The whole thing with MJF. And then even with MJF in the crowd, Hangman basically telling, because the crowd started chanting for MJF. And then Hangman's like, and this guy can fuck himself too, basically. I loved the whole thing. Justin, what'd you think? Then Bakley.
Okay, so I didn't really see the Mox and Hangman one, but now just hearing that, God damn, that sounds awesome. Like a fucking intense promo. Going back and watching that one now. Like
Hangman
later.
Was punching himself, dude, and he had lumps on his head. It was awesome, dude.
And then he was bleeding, and then he wiped it on Moxley's white shirt. And then it was like he must have like did the blade job before he came out, then went bam, bam, bam. And then you could just see it, like, because I didn't notice it until the blood was on his hand. Mm-hmm. And then you could see a little bit, but then he went like this, and then he goes over and just wipes it on him.
Damn.
And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, he means business now. But, like, just like you said, I loved how he was like, I had my best friends, and they're slowly disappearing. And then my old friends, I don't even know where they're at. he was like, they disappeared a while ago. And then he just went on. I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, of course, talking about the Young Bucks and Kenny. Yeah. But he's still here. He has nobody. So it's like he has nothing to worry about. It's just him, the lone cowboy, basically. And he's going to prove it. To me, it's 50-50. Like, I was like, okay, Moxie has to win because he's in Cincinnati. There's no way that he can lose. But then I'm like, why can't he? Like, he probably will win, but I'm like, why can't he lose? And, like, he can literally lose and take that vacation that he's been wanting to, because he was originally going to take the vacation for 6 weeks until right around this time. So it's like, if he was going to do that, why you can hold the belt anymore? You can have Hangman win it, then he could do it. And like, I can see why not, but it's like, I'm just going to say, why not?
You're right. Man? No, it's 50-50, especially after that promo. And again, you know, we rag on AEW sometimes about storytelling. Yeah. That promo right there, the last 2 weeks of promos, that match has only been a couple of week build, but everyone is fired fucking up for it. And not just because it's been 3 years in the making, but the way these last 2 weeks of promos had told an incredible story. and I'm fucking excited for it. I can't wait for this match on Tuesday. And you're right, it is 50-50, and it can go either way. And another match that a lot of people thought was 50-50 coming into this, not me. I was 100% thinking Jericho was going to win. Chris Jericho, Bryan Danielson, ROH World Championship, their third match. They were 1-1. So the main story is Chris Jericho got the win. It was an absolutely fantastic match. Lionheart music. They stopped Judas. Lionheart's music hit. The crowd then proceeded to sing the whole Judas song without music, which is fucking awesome, dude. This crowd was hot, 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 hot. It was an incredible crowd all night long, but them singing Judas was great. The end of the match happened. Jericho has the ROH title. It's like looks like he's going to hit Brian with it. Daniel Garcia comes out. Jericho pushes Garcia. Deion Garcia gets the belt, and you know what's going to happen. And right when he does it, I go, no! As Garcia just cracks Brian with it. Jericho gets the win. Even after the match, though, the post-match hug with JAS, Garcia still looked timid, like he didn't want to be there or do it. But after the match, he put the arms up and he was holding the belt up. Or after like the hug, he was holding the belt up and the arms up. So Garcia, full-fledged heel again. Justin, I know you were disgusted by it. I'm fine with the storylines. I know I said no in the chat because I was loving face Danny. But Justin, what do you think, bro?
So fucking dumb. So fucking dumb. I have zero idea where the fuck this story is going anymore. And honestly, right now, I'm starting to get fucking pulled out of it. So dumb. Like, make up your fucking minds. Is he going to be babyface? Is he going to be fucking heel? Because if he's going to turn now on Brian and then join Jericho and then later on turn on Jericho and then help Brian again, like, the fuck are we doing? What the fuck? Like, if we're just going to get to Jericho and Garcia, let's just fucking do it and get it over with. But now we got to fucking deal with him being a goddamn heel again. For what freaking reason? Like, it's just all fucking dumb now. Like, I was so interested in this because, like, as a guy who really wasn't that into Daniel Garcia at first because his presentation came off shit, and now all of a sudden it's, like, out there now and looks way better than it did, and now I'm, like, locked in on Daniel Garcia, and then it's like, okay, this story was going good, and I'm, like, locked into it, and now you're just freaking feeling like you're just spinning fucking tires here. Like, it's going nowhere. And that really sucks. Like, I'm kind of starting to go out of it now. And that's really a disappointment to me. Because now we're going to do like we're doing with Luchasaurus, where we're just going to flip-flop. Like,
yeah, that's silly, dude. No doubt.
I'll kind of pass on that. Like, completely. So, like, again, I'm over Jericho, so I'm just over it. I don't need to watch Jericho run through fucking ROH legends just to be. This isn't just like I said. You Binkley was talking about how it felt like this is what's going to start like leading towards an ROH show, but this doesn't feel like we're leading towards an ROH show. This still now feels like a Jericho run with a title again, and it's just fucking stupid. We're doing this all over again.
I feel you, brother. That's fair.
I just think that because it's for like the casuals that don't really watch that, but like, okay, what's ROH? Because of course we watch a lot of wrestlers and we know ROH, but a lot of people don't know. And this is their way of trying to get people into it, is to see your most marketable guy with the title, and then he's defending it almost every other week on Dynamite. They're like, okay, we know Jericho in a band. He wrestles. He was in WWE, and yep. Boom. Now we're going to learn all the wrestlers that were there. We're kind of getting like a course on ROH, but like the turn back here, like that got me. I'm like, I kind of thought he would, but now I'm like, what are they going to do? What are they going to do with this? Is it going to turn back now? I don't think it's going to have anything to do with Bryan Danielson. I'm like, what is he going to turn back in a month or two when he gets tired again? Is he going to stay heel and then the rest of JAS is going to turn face because he wants to be on his own, and then that's how he goes after the title? Because like if you looked at it, like when they're holding their hands up, he kind of looks at the world title. Like you kind of subtly notice it. He kind of looks at it and gives like a smirk. like you said, like he didn't want to be there or whatnot or do it. He has the world title on his mind. But I think he's going to stand next to the person that he wants to take it from because it's his best chance. Like, stand close to him. Don't let him out of your sight. And when he's not expecting it, then he turns on him.
Puts his guard down and you get him.
Yeah,
boom. I can fuck with that because you're right. Justin, you're right. This didn't make a lot of sense. It would have made more sense last week in the tag team match when they were
– yes.
And then that's what cost them instead of Danny eating the pin by Sammy. Like, come on, man. And you mean to tell me Danny eating the pin by Sammy is what's going to turn him? Get the fuck out of here with that. So – I do feel you guys on that. Overall, the match itself was good, and I was surprised where it was going off in the card, but then it made sense because another thing that I was 110% of coming into tonight was what happened in the main event. We'll talk about that just in a minute. That's right. And because I want to hype these four women, Toni Storm, Hikaru Shida, Britt Baker, DMD, and Jamie Hayter tore the fucking house down in this match tonight. Give them more time. Give me a second women's match, please. These women tore it up. There were so many different sequences. Just go watch the match. Like, I can't do it justice. I'm not going to sit here and give a play-by-play. But all four of them were fucking ridiculous, dude. They all played their parts. It ended on a nice little back-and-forth roll-ups between Shida and Britt. Shida got the fucking pin. You know I'm a Shida mark. So I was all about Shida getting the win there. Just an awesome, awesome tag team match, dude. All four women showed out. And Hayter was still over as fucking Canada. But all four women really showed out. What'd you think about the match really quick before we talk about the main event?
I'll have to go back and rewatch it now. Because that sounds, if it's actually freaking really good, I have to go back and watch it. Because especially Shida, because I love Hikaru Shida, and I'm like disappointed we don't have her on TV anymore. She's kind of appears once in a
double champ at.
I have no fucking clue. I know she was a champ in one promotion, but then apparently she's a tag team champion too. So she comes out with two belts, one around her neck, one around her waist, and I was like, yo, Shida looks dope. Period, all the time, dude. But she coming out draping gold. I'm like, all right.
Pro wrestling wave and okay, she's the Regina D Wave champion and then something else.
Yeah, she's a tag team champion, they said. Yeah. But yeah, the match fucking slapped, as the kids say, dude. And as Tim King says, the match fucking banged, baby. I loved it, dude. Great match, dude.
To bring.
Bakley, what'd you think about the match, man?
I enjoyed it. Just like you said, Hayter got a big pop. They made a mention, the point to mention the fact that Shida won the revenge on Britt Baker for the attack a couple weeks ago. And you just knew that something was going to happen. She almost got, of course, the submission on Shida, but then Shida, that's when they started doing all the rolling and everything and got the victory. It was just really good. And then you saw a lot of animosity with Storm and Hayter. I'm still going to say it's going to be them two.
I agree.
Four gear. There was animosity there. And, of course, they took each other out. And then that's what led to it being just Baker and Shida. But, man, they gave them a lot of time. That match was at least 10 to 15 minutes long, which was a long time, which is great. Like, good to see them showcase themselves more and more each week, and it's going to lead to something really good. It leads towards Hayter winning the belt with how over she is, but they're doing a great job at Toni Storm too. They're getting her over and over. She seems to be getting that stride now where in the beginning she looked rusty. Now she's picking up. Now she's looking a lot better. She's looking more confident. You can see how her action and demeanor is now. She's very happy. It's good to see. And the women are putting a lot better effort into the matches now. They're going balls to the wall.
Yeah, they are. They're really taking advantage of the time that they're getting. And I was a huge Toni Storm. I love Toni Storm in WWE and NXT. Well, in NXT. And then she moved over to AEW, and I'm just like, who the fuck is this? You are not Toni Storm. But right now, she's that same woman that I remember in NXT, and I fucking am digging what she's putting down. And yeah, we talked about it like maybe a month ago. It was the perfect time with Saraya coming in. You have Saraya and Britt. They can have that feud. And then you got Hayter and Tony. So, like, and that Saraya-Britt feud is so big that it really gives you two big level feuds. You get a big women's feud and a title feud. And I actually wanted to see Nyla and Jade again for this fucking TBS championship. But Nyla Rose walking around with Jade's championship is fucking stupid, and it irritates the fuck out of
me. Did I miss something?
Nyla Rose stole her title on Rampage, all right? And now she's fucking walking around with it. And then Anna Jay, who lost to fucking Jade twice already, challenges Nyla Rose for her TBS title on Rampage. The whole thing. I'm sorry.
Put this way. I hate the fact that they're doing it, but if it's their way of actually like putting the belt on the line more, I'll buy it just because how bad Jade Cargo has been.
Look at Justin.
Put it that way. Look at Justin. The best as they sound.
Look at Justin.
So Nyla took Jade's title, Anna Jay walks up to her and challenges her for Jade's title.
Yeah. Well, in the promo, she said because she has it 9/10 of the law.
Nine tenths of the law, my ass. These motherfuckers have gotten Tony Khan's fucking stash. That's stupidity. What the fuck?
I would have rather had just Nyla Rose beat Jade, but you know that's not gonna happen. I would love if
Nyla Rose beat Jade.
I don't know if I'd be down for that, really. I'd rather watch Tony Khan snip poke for fucking 3 hours and watch that shit.
I want Justin, I'd be fine if you beat Jade for that belt, dude. I just need that belt to get off Jade so Jade could go fucking do something else, dude, because she is just over that belt, and I'm over her having that belt, and I'm over this whole Nyla having the belt and Anna challenging Nyla, because I was all positive, and then we had to fucking bring that down, but we got a great reaction out of Justin, so that was fucking money right there. But
you're welcome.
Let's go. We're getting out of here in the next couple of minutes, but we got the main event, and I knew who the winner of this match coming into it, but I didn't know it was going to get the main event spot. He is so deserved. It is more than fucking deserved by him. Orange Cassidy beats Pac for the All Atlantic Championship, thus getting his first championship in All Elite Wrestling, and I couldn't have been happier. And I'll tell you, this guy right here hated Pockets when I first saw him. I said, what the fuck is that, all right? Now, I could like have tears in my eyes. I was so fucking happy for the guy, all right? Loved it. Loved how the match went. Pac has been such a bastard the last few weeks with his fucking hammer. He pulled out like 5 hammers during the match. Justin, you were there. You cursed the fucking belt and the hammer, and then you got hit with the fucking hammer, all right?
I thought that was gonna be Beretta at first because he got hit with it, and because of how he was standing, and I'm like, who the fuck is that? Like, and that's not Beretta. And then he pulls it off, and it's like Danhausen. I'm like, holy shit! It's Danhausen.
There was such a cool fucking spot, and then Orange Cassidy just be rocking, packing, rocking, packing, rocking, pack, dude. Just orange punch after orange punch, and then he got 1, 2, 3 and new All Atlantic champion Orange Cassidy. The best friends there, best friends hug, confetti comes down, show ends. Justin, what are your thoughts on and new Orange Cassidy Bakely? And let's get the fuck out of here.
Well, I am gonna go back and rewatch the match, but I saw that he won the fucking title, and that is fucking awesome. Finally, Orange Cassidy wins a title. Holy shit, Jim Cornette is having a stroke. And I am laughing at it because God did. That is fucking awesome. About time. Like, Orange Cassidy's been due for a title. He's busting his ass every time he has a match. He's had so many fucking close calls where he's had a title and it like title matches, and he's gotten this close to winning them, but he hasn't done it. And now, like, it feels like Pac's title run was kind of short, but you know, he still got the Trios titles.
Yep.
Let Orange Cassidy go.
He actually held it for almost 5 months.
It's crazy.
Wow, that's
not
that long, actually.
And Justin, I don't mean to cut you off, but I think too winning it is a perfect way to get that belt on Ethan Page. I think he's the next the guy who's going to take that belt. So it's an perfect Orange Cassidy would be the perfect guy to lose that to Ethan Page when the time is right. I don't know if it's full gear, but when the time is right, Ethan Page will be that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for it, no matter what happens. Like, I was just happy to fucking see Orange Cassidy with title right now. Whoever's going to take it off him, hey, the title's been on TV more. It's not just disappeared now. Yeah. So that's been awesome.
He defended it 8 times, which is a lot.
Shit, yeah.
He defended it two times in Rev Pro, once or twice in that Canadian promotion, OHH, I think it was. Two times against Orange Cassidy. So that's 5.
Trent.
He's defended Trent, that's 6. Yep. I know he defended it against somebody else.
Kip Sabian.
Kip Sabian said, okay, so 7 times. He defended it 7 times since June.
That's
pretty good.
That's great.
Which is great, which is what you want to see him do. He's already over. They have him have the Trios title, so he's still a champion. He still has the distinction of being the first double champion, so he has that for him. It was just Orange Cassidy's time. And if somebody posted on, like, from the crowd posted on Twitter that Chris Statlander surprised him, and she was there right after they went out. And they had all of them there, so, which was cool, but, man, This guy deserved it. He's been wrestling. Look at his record. His record for the year was like 69-20-3 or something like that. This guy wrestles every time. Dark Elevation, Dynamite, Rampage, whatever show you have, he wrestles it. He's over with the crowd. He's one of the fan favorites. And now he's finally got, like, he was the one that you would say, he doesn't need the belt because he's so over. He doesn't need it. But now he has it. Now they've rewarded him for all the work that he's done there. You put him on there. I want to see him travel to, like, Rev Pro, to OHH, to maybe, you know, to Mexico, maybe, you know, where he gets to fights these good opponents. I want to see him go all over. Even if it's just for, like, a couple months, like you said, until he drops it to Ethan Page. I want to see him wrestle every week.
That'd be awesome, dude. I'd love to see him doing, like, open challenges and shit, or even, you know, in other countries doing it for sure. But I couldn't have been happier for Orange Cassidy.
Thumbs up.
Double, baby, for sure. Pac, he sold like a fucking machine in that match like he always does. So, Pac, thank you for what you do, man. You are fucking absolutely sensational. I think they cut the title run a little bit short because the Death Triangle was never supposed to have those Trios titles. But now that they got them, they figure out a different route out because you don't want to have Pac walking around like he did Friday night defending 2 titles back-to-back, which was dope as fuck. But
and he won both.
God damn, he's a machine. Gentlemen, this has been an absolute fucking blast. There is no better time ever to be a wrestling fan. We just coming off a banger Extreme Rule. I mean, fuck, going back, SmackDown was great, dude. We had the Intercontinental title match. Rampage was even pretty good. You had Battle of the Belts. You had fucking Bound for Glory we didn't talk about, which was fucking
Declaration of Power.
Fantastic. Declaration of Power was so good. Raw, NXT was solid. AEW Dynamite was another banger of a show. I hope they go over a million views for like 8 out of the last 9 weeks. There has never been a better time to be a wrestling fan, and I am happy that I get to talk about it with guys like you weekly. So thank you both for coming on as always. Justin, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at JustinTime211, In Time Wrestling Podcast. Find it, listen to it, like it, love it. New episode coming soon. We also got a classic pay-per-view review coming up, which I will spoil right now, coming up tomorrow. So keep your eyes peeled for it.
Awesome. Good shit. Good shit, man. Yeah, check out the In Time Wrestling Podcast, dude. Justin and Jeremy are fucking great. Very, very funny, too, man. Check it out. Bakley, where can the people find you?
You can find me on at CageMyIQ. I am on Twitter. I'm on Twitch, Instagram, and on YouTube. That's where all my content's at. Give me subscribe, follow, and then comment on some of my videos. So let me know what you think.
Hell yeah. And Bakley's always doing great shit, man. Bakley is all over the place, whether it's UFC, sports, wrestling. Bakley is doing like fucking 14 shows a week. I don't know how he does it. Yeah, Bakley took your job. He's the Bakley
took my gimmick, and I was proud to retire it and give it to him.
Bakley is the podcast whore, as Frank Reynolds would say. And me, TK, your boy. You can find me at the Wrestling Index Podcast right here on Floor Slapper Sports YouTube. Please like and subscribe. Video, subscribe. I know you guys are checking them out. I greatly appreciate everyone who tunes in and who watches these videos. So if you're on the YouTube, please subscribe to the channel. I really appreciate it. But the Wrestling Index Podcast, you can find it right here on Floor Slappers YouTube, floorslappersports.com, Visionary Global Media Network, and all major audio platforms. Get at me, the Wrestling Index, on Twitter. Love to talk to you. Floor Slapper Sports, doing big things. NFL, fantasy football, wrestling. Check it out. Boys, thank you so much for joining me. It was an absolute pleasure. We out.
Too sweet.